Thank you for listening to this message from Five Stones Church and Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information about Five Stones Church, visit us online at fivestonesga.com.
How many needs a word from the Lord? Turn to 2 Kings, the third chapter, 2 Kings chapter 3. As you're turning there, let me make a statement before we begin, because I'm going to be very honest and very candid with you. I had everything prepared for today. And then Saturday I got up and it didn't feel right. And so I spent about the next 5 hours of my Saturday putting together this word. And I'm excited about it, because anytime God brings direction or change, it's always good. Can I say something before we begin, please? Heaven and earth. Genesis 1 says, God created heaven and earth. He never created heaven and earth to operate independently. He separated heaven and earth with what we call atmosphere, but he never created them to work independently of each other. Come on, that's too deep for you already. That's why in Matthew 6, when Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, it focused on this part about prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy on earth as it is in. Why did he say the will being released as it is in heaven and the earth? Because there's only separation between heaven and earth is atmosphere. And they were not created to operate independently. We've got to discover that what God wants to release has to flow through an atmosphere in order to be manifested here. You say, well, I don't understand atmosphere. Well, atmosphere is what you can't see. There's spiritual atmospheres, and then there's the natural atmosphere. Do you understand the natural atmosphere is what creates and dictates the climate we live in? If it's temperature adjustments, rain or wind, those are climates that are manifested by what's going on in an arena you do not see. Are you here? Listen to me. You have to have ears to hear today. Because what the atmosphere does is it moves in a way that releases something that you and I tangibly can see. That's why those that are on TV that forecast the weather are trying to look into the atmosphere so they can predict what's about to be released in the climate of your natural. I understand that in the natural perspective, but today we're talking about it from the spirit. Because if you and I can understand how to take authority over an atmosphere we do not see, then we can begin to see the manifestation of the will of God in the climate or the natural of what I do see. The reason some of you are struggling in the natural is because you haven't learned how to war in an atmosphere. Come on now, we're going deep today. Touch your neighbor and say, you better be able to hear. You better be able to hear. And I'm not talking about natural ears, I'm talking about in the spirit. Because where I'm about to take you by the Holy Ghost today, what you get today will change your life. You will become atmosphere shifters. Because today's not a word for the faint of heart. It's for those of us who realize we're sick and tired of dealing with the climate of the present, and we're ready to wage war in an atmosphere of the spirit in order to see the adversary pushed back. You remember when Daniel prayed and his prayers were hindered? You remember. The word of the Lord finally came through an angel and said, listen, it wasn't that your prayer wasn't right. It was because I was being hindered in the atmosphere. For 21 days, it took the angel to break through the atmosphere in order to bring the word. Come on now. All right, let you at 2 Kings 3. Boy, this is going to be good today. I can feel it, man. Worship was right. Spirit in this room's right. The atmosphere in this room has been purged. If you ain't in it, go home. If you plan to hinder, I rebuke you. If you get, oh God. You're going to fight against it. You better go on or I'm going to run you off. The word of God's too powerful today and it's too transforming because we're raising up some atmosphere shifters. I'm on a journey. Oh my God. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey to be a part of a movement in the earth that hell is afraid of. I wish I had somebody in here that said, I'm ready to join you on the journey. I'm ready to be a voice. I'm ready to roar like a lion and soar like an eagle. I'm ready to be a reckoning voice in the earth. I'm on a journey. You don't want to go. Have a nice day. Can you tell I'm trying to run off hindrance? Not because I sense it, just because I know the enemy don't like what's about to come. If you sit next to somebody that don't want it, change seats. You sit next to somebody that can't get in on it, come find you a place on the front row. In fact, you come park yourself right up here because I'm telling you, you get this word in your spirit, it'll shift the air. Read the text, Pastor. Man, you ought to be glad I spent Saturday by myself in the Holy Ghost. 2 Kings 3, verse 15. Now, you got to understand the narrative of Scripture here. There were three kings. There was great division in Israel. Israel couldn't get along with itself, let alone it had kings that were out of alignment. They were in rebellion to God. So you have division in Israel. So you have three kings that are fighting. And here's the deal. These kings are in great peril because there's no rain. Because God said, I'm going to cut you off. You're going to perish without me until you realize you need me. Mm-hmm. Don't think your disobedience don't affect God. He can't bless you past your last act of disobedience. So may the Lord forgive you for what you did last night. We're repenting before we read text. Verse 15. The prophet Elijah says, but now bring me a musician. See, the kings had been beseeching, listen, we need you to help us. We need you to get us a word. We need you to help us. We're tired of this parched land. And hear the word of Elijah. Elisha says, he says, now bring me a musician. And then it happened. My heavens. Then it happened. When the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. When the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha the prophet. When the musician played, when the worshipers played, when the band began to make a melody under the heavens, when they begin to entreat the presence of an almighty God, when they begin to give him a place of honor, when they begin to extol him and lift him and magnify him. The hand of the Lord came upon him and said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water so that your cattle and your animals may drink. Now look at this, verse 18. And this is a simple matter. This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He said, this is a simple matter. He said, I need you to dig ditches, but you're not going to see wind and you're not going to see rain. Why? Because God says, I'm going to cause it to rain way up over there. And what I release way up over there is going to flow down to where you dig a ditch. You may not see the rain. You may not see the cloud. You may not see the provision. But if you can shift the environment, if you can shift the environment, the atmosphere changes. Then what is meant to come will be. And it will not be a hard matter for him. One more verse and I'm done. At least with the text. He said, this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. he will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. He said, not only am I going to fix your natural, I'm going to fix your enemy too. Can I tell you, you are standing in an environment today that is supercharged with the anointing of God to not only move in your natural, but to move in the spiritual warfare you're in as well. Listen, can I be so audacious to say that I believe the anointing of the Holy Ghost is going to come so strongly in this room that the mere man that stands before you with his failures, his faults, and his weakness is about to step into a dimension of the Spirit and release a word so profound to you that your ears will perk up and you will receive a revelation that will move you beyond your limitations into a place of prevailing grace and a move of God that smites your enemies and releases much needed rain. Woo, about to get thick in here. Woo, some of you are, I guess, you're like, I ain't been in church like this. Oh, you are about to get in the deep water. Lord, add your blessing to this word and release it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Woo. Woo. I'm going to have my own fit today. I do not need you or require you to go with me. I know exactly what he said to me, and I have been lit. I've been lit since, you're like, he came in here on fire. Yeah, I've been lit since yesterday afternoon. Because I had a good thing, and then he gave me something better. And he thought it was, listen to me, he thought it was a good idea for you to be here today. Because you could have went, as Pastor Stephen, you could have went anywhere else, but you're here. And since you're here, you might as well go ahead and let him give you what he has in store for you to release. Now let's talk about atmosphere for a moment because I don't think we properly understand atmosphere as it relates to climate. Okay? So the illustration I have today is very, very simple. So let me walk this out in your presence. Because if I was to go to California and get me an orange seed, a good seed, and I take my orange seed and I go back to my native land of Indiana. Indiana's got good, rich soil. That's farmland of America. And so if I take my orange seed, a good seed from California, take it to Indiana and plant it in the good soil, the rich soil of Indiana, everything should produce success. I have a good seed that should produce an orange tree. I have good soil. The problem is this. It's not a seed problem. Nor is it a soil problem. It's a climate problem because the climate in Indiana is not conducive. As good as the seed is, and as good as the soil is, it should produce orange trees. However, the atmosphere over the state of Indiana prohibits the climate from staying warm enough for that seed to produce what it was designed to produce. You may not understand the climate you're under because you don't understand atmosphere. If you understand atmosphere, then you'll be able to understand climate. Make sense? Where are you most likely to get into a fight? A bar or a library? Anybody got in a fight in a library? Should I ask if anybody ever got in a fight in a bar? Right? You see, you don't understand what I'm saying. The atmosphere of a library releases a climate. The atmosphere of a bar releases a climate. You're more likely to get into a conflict in a bar because of the atmosphere that prevails over it and the climate that is released in it than you are in a library. See, it's amazing to me, and I don't mean to offend you, but it's amazing to me how ignorant the church has become about atmospheres. Because we understand your home, whatever subdivision or general location, wherever you live, your house has peace and love and joy in it. But your neighbor that shares property lines with you. They fighting, feuding, throwing pots and pans at each other. Standing out in the yard screaming all kinds of blasphemies at each other. And on your property line, it's kumbaya. What is the difference between where you're at and where you live and where they live? It's an atmosphere that releases a climate. It's amazing to me how negligent the church has been to teach you about an atmosphere, how to protect it and receive from it. Because it's almost as if the church, let me just explain it to you. Can I talk this and walk this out? Here's how the church works. Okay, in our community, if you're sick, we have created hospitals for you to go to. We happen to live right here, or where the ministry is, right down the street. We have two opportunities for you to check in order to bring your wounds, your ails, your pain to somebody who has practiced. In the military, they have MASH units prepared for soldiers who are injured in conflict. Athletic events. They have trainers and doctors on the sideline. Why? Because they understand that there are things that happen that are going to require care. And then you have the church, the institution of God's kingdom. And we teach you about spiritual warfare. We teach you about the wars and the conflicts that's going on. But yet we never expect you to be wounded. The community prepares for you to be wounded. The military prepares for the wounded. The athletic events prepare for the wounded. And the church has no plan. The reason we have no plan is because what controls the atmosphere will also control the climate. That's why Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness, things in high places. Is that not what the Bible teaches? So you have to understand whatever controls the atmosphere will control the climate. So the church has allowed the enemy to control the atmosphere, thus our climate, though we teach you about spiritual warfare, has no properties to heal you. Boy, it's going to get quiet in here. See, y'all hooped with me a minute ago. Because I've got to get us to the point where we understand how to shift our climate by fixing the atmosphere. In our text today, the prophet of God realizes he had to be an atmosphere shifter, and the only way he could do that was to bring worship so that they could get a word about what to do. See, you can never change climate until you first change atmosphere. You don't seem to believe that this worked. Elisha did not have a word for any one of the kings until he brought in the worshipers, till he brought in the harp, till he brought in the worship, and it began to change the atmosphere so that he could receive and or hear from heaven in his climate or his natural. Now, I want to prove something to you. Can I prove it? Y'all going to have to work a little harder at that. In 1 Samuel 16, when Saul was tormented, he would summon David into his chamber, and David would pull out his harp, and he would begin to play. Why? Because Saul understood that if you can get somebody to change the atmosphere, it'll change the climate. Saul may not have been a very good king. In fact, he was quite rebellious, but he did understand the value of atmosphere affecting climate. Some of you are living in the residue of what you didn't address in the atmosphere. Some of your dysfunctional mindsets and mentalities, it cannot be blamed on anything other than us not contending in the atmosphere in order to have the manifestation of the will of God in the climate. Shall I go on? 2 Chronicles 5, the Bible says that they had worshipers and singers in unity. And the Bible said as they began to make a melody in the tabernacle, the Bible said the cloud of God's glory would set in the room. How can that be so? It requires you stepping in and warring in an atmosphere that you cannot see in order that you might have a climate that is conducive for the glory of God. A lot of what we do in this room makes you uncomfortable, but you don't understand. We're not trying to make you uncomfortable. We're trying to punch holes through an atmosphere so that it can release the will of God into the climate of the room so that your body can be healed, your mind can be renewed, your spirit can be made whole, that you can get your joy back, your peace back, your love back, your wholeness back. You can be transformed. Say, well, I don't necessarily like how long it takes. We'll stay at it until the atmosphere hears from this place. And the things that have been hindering the move of God, the things that have been hindering your personal life, have to be pushed back so that the climate of your natural can begin to have rain that it otherwise didn't think it deserved. And your enemy is smitten because the climate changed. Some of you spend too much time wrestling things that you should never wrestle. You wrestle because you never learned how to win in an atmosphere war. If you don't become an atmosphere shifter, then you live in the residue of your climate. If you dry, barren, feel like you haven't got anything left in your tank, and you're like, Lord, I don't understand what happened to me. I hear the Lord saying, hey, listen, what happened to you is you forgot how to war in an arena you did not see. See, the church has become so elementary and rudiment in its approach that we don't teach real spiritual precepts or principles. See, a lot of what we do in here, we are fighting atmospheric things. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, arise and shine. Arise and shine, for the light has come. And the glory of the Lord is upon you. See, you are a threat. You don't understand, see. You're a threat, and the enemy wants to think you're a failure. You're a threat, and the enemy wants to tell you you're not good. You're a threat, and the enemy wants you to sit in silence, to accept situational ethics, and to take things at face value, and you just got to put up with it. I'm telling you right now, he did not design us or call us to have to put up. In fact, the reality for me is I'm not putting up with nothing anymore. Don't have to. Well, I guess it's just the will of the Lord. You haven't learned how to contend for an atmosphere in order to have a climate. If you don't like the climate you're living in, fix your atmosphere. Elisha could not get a word from God until he fixed the atmosphere. He'd been surrounded by 3 negative, rebellious kings. How many know that'll mess up your atmosphere? Some of you work with 3, never mind. You deal with people in your life that are atmospheric depressors. And what they do is they begin to marginalize God in your eyes. Because they have so dampened or hindered the atmosphere, you can't get nothing to break in the climate of your natural. I'm going to teach. Shoo! See, I got a question. Is the church relative without miracles? I'll answer that for you. No.
We are not relative without the supernatural intervention of the kingdom of God. This institution called the church was never designed to operate without the sovereignty of God. It was never designed to operate without heaven kissing the earth. The separation between heaven and earth being the atmosphere should never have been the hindrance on why we accept the dominating, prevailing power of darkness to control the church. You better get your fight back. You better get your back like a T-rail. Stand up and start punching holes in the atmosphere of the Spirit. I'm not going to put up with what wasn't designed for my best. You can live in poverty if you want. I'm going to assault my atmosphere till I get my climate right, till I get my blessing, till I get my provision, till I get my healing, till I get my wholeness. Is the cross the legitimate power of God? Yes, it is. Did the cross settle everything in the way of what hinders me from receiving from heaven? The cross of Calvary is the legal, legitimate source of defending everything that was planned for my life, that it might be manifested in my natural climate. Am I the head and not the tail? Am I above and not beneath? Oh, you go, Pastor, woo, that's good. Live like it. Greater is he who's in you than he is of the world. And y'all go, whoa, yes. Live like it. Get you some grit in your spirit and say, listen, I am designed for more than this. I'm going to have to wage war in my atmosphere in order to change my climate. So I prophesy, everything that hinders me must be removed. I bind and loose. Come on, somebody. You better start binding and loosing. Whatsoever you bind on earth, whatever I bind on earth is bound. Whatever I loose is loose. Whatever I bind on is loosed in. Don't tell me you're not an atmosphere shifter. Don't tell me you can't decree and declare and release something. Open your mouth like a bold roaring lion and declare what you believe God said for you. Well, I can't live sober. No, honey, you don't want to live sober. No, I'm just getting a second wind. Well, don't you have a little sympathy for me, Pastor? Sympathy for your situation. You want me to give you sympathy for your situation? Sympathy is a counterfeit. I'm going to drop a word on you right here. This is tweetable, social media team. This is a tweetable moment, sweetheart. Don't miss it. Sympathy, I don't know how to spell it, but sympathy is a poor or a counterfeit to compassion. Sympathy is a counterfeit to compassion. Because see, compassion makes you a watchman. Compassion makes you an intercessor. Compassion makes you controversial. Compassion puts you on the front line. Compassion pulls you up out of a foxhole, throws you right out in the middle of all the landmines of life, and you start calling things as they are, even though they don't look like it, because your compassion is motivated by the Spirit, because you've learned how to win a war in an atmosphere that it might be manifested in the climate of your nature. Sympathy is a poor, poor, poor representation of kingdom. Am I all right? See, I really need to teach today, and I want to just rear back and preach till my ears burn. But I know, but I'm afraid you won't learn. Somehow I have to balance what I want to release out of my spirit versus the understanding that is necessary. Because I can talk to you about punching holes in atmospheres and changing climates, and you can whoop and holler and still not have anything in your arsenal. You can clap, whoop, holler, dance, spin around like a top, and still not be able to live in victory. Because see, what we have to do here is exactly what Elisha did. He had to change an atmosphere in order to get a manifestation of a climate change. He got a word from God after he got the atmosphere shift to worship. Right? But see, what came out of that shift was a word of labor. See, most of you want God to speak and you do nothing. Come on, somebody. You want to shift an atmosphere, get God moving in the natural climate, but you still want to sit on your seat of do nothingness and let God wage a war because he's sovereign. When the atmosphere shift, Elijah says, I've heard from heaven. And when he hears from heaven, he says, get a shovel. Most of you don't want an atmosphere shift that creates a climate of labor. You don't want work for nothing because you got this mindset of our present culture where you want to be a handout, hand me down. Look, I don't have a problem with hand me down stuff, but there's just some stuff I want for myself. In fact, I don't mind hand me downs because hand me downs are good because there's usefulness in them. But after a while, your identity becomes tarnished because all you have is somebody else's anointing. All you have is somebody else's victory. You can't ride on your pastor's coattail Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and expect me to pay a price for your anointing, for your breakthrough, when you won't grab your own shovel. Don't you expect me to dig ditches while you sit around and throw dirt back in the ditch I'm trying to dig. I need somebody with a shovel who will push through the atmosphere, dig some holes. That's why we fight in this room. Every time these musicians play, it's a shovel. Every time this worship team grabs the microphones and sings while you put your hands in your pockets and complain about how you ain't got a breakthrough, they got a shovel and you got negativity that ain't doing nothing but throwing dirt back in the hole they trying to dig. I have supposed to be teaching. This is a 2-week message. Y'all laughing. It's going to take me 2 weeks or 3. I got to download, I'm telling you. Because if I don't learn how to shift my atmosphere, I'll look for sympathy. In fact, some of you get more attention because you're pitiful. Yeah. You get all kinds of attention because you're pitiful. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're not willing to grab a shovel under the direction of the sovereignty of God and start digging for your future, you're going to die in dryness. You're not going to be able to get any water flowing into your life. And nobody is going to know it more than you because everything God wants to plant in you will die. Because no seed survives without water. My atmosphere has to be penetrated so my climate is conducive to every seed God releases so that it can take root downward, bear fruit upward, and I can be the transformed person I'm designed to be. See, I can come in here with all kinds of word for you. I like to think that when you come in here, you get some word. Okay, I got three. Nobody over here gets word. I'm not begging for an approval. I'm just trying to see if you can acknowledge that you got something in your spirit that has changed your life. Because if you're not getting no word, you need to find you another church where they preach the B-I-B-L-E as the book for you. Get you a word in your spirit. Fight your atmosphere so your climate can be... Your climate has to be conducive for growth. Let me go back to sympathy because I had you there for a minute. Sympathy doesn't grab shovels. It wants somebody else to dig for them. Sympathy says, I'm just going to sit myself on a pew. You dig a hole for me. Get some water flowing to me so I can drink. I'm going to quote chapter and verse. He who doesn't work doesn't deserve to eat. So I'm going to say this to you. If you ain't willing to grab a shovel and dig to help us have some water in this house, I'm going to knock the cup right out of your hand because you ain't going to drink from the water flow. Pastor, that's downright hateful. No, that's the new level of compassion. Because you ain't going to drink my water when I've been laboring from my water. I don't mind sharing, but I can't share with those who are lazy. My atmosphere I'm fighting for, the revival I'm trying to birth, the move of God I'm laboring for. I'm not about to allow your prostituted spirit to steal my anointing because you're lazy. Hey! So what's wrong with him? I'm on a journey to be a movement in my community. I'm on a journey to be a voice in a land that desperately needs it. And we better learn how to fix our atmosphere. Number one. I don't do it well, but I'll try. Number one. Somebody said, you need a little more decorum. You need a little more desperation. You want me to have decorum and act like I got all my senses and you sit, never mind. I just went hateful right there. Lord help him. Number one, without the atmospheres being penetrated, the climate will never be conducive for you to understand your purpose. When Elisha pulls the music team in, it begins to shift the atmosphere that releases the word of God, and when it does so, it gives purpose to what was aimless. Are you here? See, I start teaching y'all like, what? Without a purpose, you are aimless. You circle mountains until you're dizzy because you have no purpose. Now, here's what bothers me pastorally. Can I say it? What bothers me pastorally is some of you have been sitting in church your entire life and still don't know purpose. As if somehow it is some mystery that has been hidden from you. When the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, seek ye first. Seek ye first his. Right. So if I seek the kingdom, then things are added to me, right? So it's amazing to me how we can't understand purpose. Can I define purpose for you? Here's your purpose. You want to know what your purpose is? Huh? I just need somebody who wants to know their purpose. Okay, good. Here's my purpose. If anybody is lost, I need to introduce them to Jesus. If you're lost, you need Jesus. If you found Jesus, you need discipled. If you've been discipled, you need to be mobilized. Oh, that's called expanding the kingdom. See, the reason we've got to get through our atmosphere and so we can get a release of the climate, so we can take away the condemnation that's been upon you about your purpose. Because some of you have self-condemned yourself because you feel like you're doing nothing. If you're not reaching lost people, then you deserve it. Because the only mandated will and purpose of our life is to extend the kingdom by going to the lost and compelling them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, y'all wanted something deep. Okay, can you just, my purpose has to be to stand on platforms or to be in. My purpose is not Bible and microphone. My purpose is to find people who are lost and introduce them to Jesus. My purpose is finding people who have found Jesus and introduce them to a new level of discipleship. My purpose is to take them from discipleship, handing them a tool and mobilizing them so that they can repeat the kingdom, because that's the purpose of the kingdom. It's not that you get a business card and a title. Do you see my name on this building? On a sign. I refuse to put it on there. They say, we need to put your name on the sign. I say, why? I'm a soul winner. My purpose is to make disciples. My purpose is to mobilize you to be a force in the earth. My purpose this morning is to mobilize you, deputize you with the power of the kingdom so that you punch holes through the atmosphere of your life so that your climate can change, so you get your joy back, you get your peace back, you get your money back, you get your marriage back, you get your kids back, you get what you need back. Some of you have been self-condemned. Well, you know, I don't have my name on a sign. Let me tell you something. The day you put your name on the sign just made yourself responsible. You're like, oh, man, what's that mean? That means you get the weight, the pressure, the burden. Oh, Pastor, you look so happy. That's because I remind him this was not my idea. Come on, somebody. This was not my idea. My purpose. Let me just say it this way. Your purpose, our purpose, is if they lost, they need to find Jesus. If they're found, they need to be discipled. If they're discipled, they need to be mobilized. That's the purpose of the kingdom. That's it. See, some of you have been sitting for 30 years waiting for God. Boy, y'all got quiet right there because y'all felt guilt, didn't you? You're like, oh, but I've been praying about it. Lord, what do you want me? I'm not being trite. Lord, what do you want me to do? So you sit around waiting for him to tell you what to do. Go ye unto the highways and hedges. You don't need no business card for that. You don't need to be ordained for that. You don't need a credential for that. You don't need nothing other than an understanding that I have been commissioned to shift atmospheres, and wherever I go, I'm a soul winner. Wherever I am, I'm a disciple maker. Wherever I am, I mobilize others to make a difference in the earth. Somebody said amen. I heard it. See, that's why we fight for this atmosphere. Over this atmosphere, so that this climate is rich for you to grow out of what has confined you, so that you grow past the limitations that you've always lived with, because that's what your mama did. Bless her heart. That's what we say in the South. I'm not from the South. So every time they say bless her heart, I usually tell Marshall, I said, the heart's probably not the problem here. Had Elisha never shifted the atmosphere, he'd have never got the word to dig ditches, which is laborious. It's labor intensive. But if you want the flow to come, you got to dig when ain't nothing but dirt. See, some of you want purpose that produces instant rain. This is March 1 right? In March of 2011, I came back with a simple word about the starting and the releasing and the planning and the establishing of this church that you're sitting in right now. And when we first began to do what God asked us to do, we didn't see nothing but dirt. Everything we owned as a ministry would fit in a single cab truck. Stayed in our garage. Boys that helped me load the single cab truck, drive over to the little fire station, set it up so we could live our dream. See, what you don't understand right now is you have had the privilege of sitting under a climate that has been changed by the diligence of those who put their hand to a shovel, dug when there was nothing but dirt, and now that there's water in the house, you're in here going, whoa, that's wonderful. I've been healed in this environment. I've been restored in this environment. I've been transformed. I've been delivered. That's wonderful. But until we realize that was not a one-time thing, it's a movement where we continue. I'm telling you, the deeper we dig, the more rain is coming to our ditch. The deeper we dig, the more we labor, the greater we serve, the more He releases. And a lot of that is our willingness to fight in an atmospheric war. So I can bind those hindering spirits in the atmosphere. Some of our warfare is not natural. It's in the atmosphere. Whew. A lot of what we do in worship is nothing more than what Elisha did. Someone say, well, I don't understand why it takes so long. See, sometimes you got to dig a little while. Some of you get tired too easy. Sometimes we gotta push on the atmosphere in worship before God will start releasing words. It's interesting to me, the narrative of Scripture doesn't tell us how long they sang. You're not here. Doesn't tell us how long. We just assume one song, word open. That's our perception because we like it quick, fast, and in a hurry. We're a drive-through. Lord, I want them to sing one song, open up the heavens. And then we rebuke God when He tells us to get a shovel. See, if you, well, here it comes. I'm going to drop. Y'all ready? If you're not willing to grab a shovel and dig a ditch, you sure not going to have victory over your Moabites. Because if you think God's not a God of order and structure, you haven't read the book. He's always been a God of order and structure. If you're not willing to dig the ditch, you don't get the victory over the Moabites. You can say God is exalted, the devil is defeated, and we don't lose. It's nothing more than a cliche until you punch holes through the atmosphere. All right, number two.
What time is it? I got time.
Number two. See, some of you take notes, and this helps you when I give you one, two. Then I give you 2A, 2B, 2C. The reason it's imperative for the atmosphere to shift is, one, so you can discover purpose. And purpose is not as difficult as you think it is. Purpose is quite elementary. Because God knew me and He knew I couldn't work in that deep world, so I needed a simple word. Preach the gospel. Got it. Thanks. Number two, the reason you have to have a warfare in the atmosphere in order to fix your climate is because you'll never understand your authority. Until you win the warfare in the atmosphere, in the heavenlies, you'll never understand your authority in the climate or the earth. Listen to what God does. Here's what God does. You got a mind to hear or a spirit to hear. Listen to what He says. God says to Elisha, He says, here's what you need to do. He said, you tell him to dig ditches. And He said, this is an easy thing. He said, you tell them to dig ditches, and they won't see wind. Isn't that crazy? God says, listen, tell them to dig ditches, but tell them not to look for rain clouds. Don't wait on the weather report. Dig ditches. Don't wait on wind. Why? Because here's what God says. He says, this is an easy thing for me. I'm going to do it way over yonder. And what I do way over yonder is going to roll into you. He said, that's an easy thing. God says, this is not a hard thing for me to do this. He said, but then, he says, as you do that, the caveat of it is, he says, the Moabites that are around you, they're going to be defeated. Have you ever thought that your authority has to start in your willingness to work in the natural? Sometimes you got to agree with God when you don't feel it. Sometimes you got to stand like you know it's coming to pass when it's not even showing up. Sometimes you got to plant your feet in the natural so you can demonstrate your authority in the spirit. Sometimes you can't let your enemy see you sweat. I'm not going to move in my natural because my authority is in the kingdom. It ain't manifested in the natural right now, but I'm not moving out of what I believe in the spirit. I don't pray for anybody down here that I don't believe that he has already finished the work for their healing. I'm sorry. It's not my job to produce the sign. It's not my job to produce the manifestation. It's my job to stand in my authority. My authority starts in the natural. I am an ambassador of the kingdom. Is that what the Bible teaches us? We are ambassadors of the kingdom. Where do ambassadors start? In the natural. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom, which means I live in the natural world, but my authority is in the spirit. But the spiritual authority cannot be released until I release it in the natural. So you call those things that be not as though they are. Did I lose you? Is it late in the day? I don't know. I just preach till I'm done. Well, you know, you ought to pay attention to what time it is. It's kingdom. It doesn't have a clock. So what are you looking at that diminishes your authority? Either you are deputized or you're not. Either you're an heir or you're not. Either you're the head or the tail. You're either above or beneath. My authority is not based on what I see in the natural. I may see nothing but a dry ditch, but I'm going to stand in my authority based on what God said from the atmosphere. And I'm going to stand in authority until what I seen in the spirit is manifested in the natural. I know you don't see it yet, but I've done got my eye on the vision of God, and he's going to release what is not seen into the arena that is seen. See, if you don't understand your authority, you'll look at digging holes as failure. Because the enemy will tell you, you're a slave. You're a slave. Slaves dig holes. No, servants dig holes. Not a slave. No, don't misunderstand. Just because I got a shovel don't mean I'm a slave. I got a shovel because he told me to get one. Because he thought it was beneficial for me to stand in my natural, use the authority of the spirit, but you got to release it in the natural. Kingdom authority only is manifested until you're willing to put a little sweat equity into your natural. See, we want God to be this God that does everything and we do nothing. Sometimes you got to fight for something. See, y'all don't want to fight. Y'all done got lazy. Well, Pastor, you know, if the Lord wants to fix it, he'll just fix it for me. See, I irritate people. I know that's hard for you to believe. Pastor, it just comes easier for you. No, I just got tired of losing. You say, well, I wish I had what you got. Get you a shovel. Get you a shovel, embrace your purpose, realize your authority is non-negotiable. I am a diplomat of my kingdom. Not my kingdom, his kingdom. And I have been a diplomat, which means I have been given diplomatic authority and diplomatic immunity, which means I am here and I'm not going anywhere till I take my last breath. My authority, your authority, is not subject to you having a good day versus a bad day. But Pastor, okay, you want sympathy? Sympathy doesn't move the needle. Number three, I got to hurry. Y'all got this? The reason we need to be atmosphere shifters is number one, why? So you can discover purpose, manifest purpose, and live purpose. The reason we have to be atmosphere shifters, number two, is why? So that you can demonstrate authority. How's anybody going to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ if you live like you're still in a tomb? Preach! How are you going to prove that he is resurrected? See, the enemy's always fighting the resurrection. That's why you deal with depression and anxiety and fear. He wants you back in a tomb so that you cannot be an example of what kingdom is. Number three. Number three, the reason you have to be an atmosphere shifter is real simple, is to create order in a world that does not have it. Whew. You say, well, Pastor, what do we have to create order in the world? Well, see, this world was created by a sovereign God who gave us ownership of. Are you or are you not an image bearer of God? Do you think God would act like you act? Do you think that God would, you're an image bearer of God? Okay, y'all got quiet up in here. Somebody stole my congregation and filled it full of people who don't want to hear. I am an image bearer of God. Right? That's what the word tells me. I am an image bearer. I'm an heir and a joint heir of his kingdom, but I'm on the earth as his diplomatic authority. That's wonderful, which means I have to be willing to set things in order. It means I need to be the leader, not the follower. I'm not riding at the back of the bus line because culture does not appreciate my Pentecostal persuasion. You may not like my Pentecostal persuasion, but I got news for you. I have been given dominion, authority, and power, and I refuse to ride at the back of some man's bus when my God said he's the chairman of the bus line. The order, your business is to create order. Not so you get rich. Your business is to prove the order of the kingdom. I thought it was all about me having wealth. No, it's so that everybody that you do business with understands that you are a creator of the order of the kingdom that is being manifested in the earth, because there is an absence, there's a void, there's a vacuum of kingdom life. See, I can't get an amen. I'm starting to wonder about y'all. Y'all are getting tired. See, you're an establisher of order. Five Stones in this community should be the beacon of the order of God. Not the disorder of culture, not the disenfranchised mindset. We ought to walk, you ought to walk into your workplace. Say, y'all gonna act like a fool, but I'm coming here bringing the order of the kingdom. Y'all gonna curse and cuss, I'm gonna bring the confession of the kingdom. You're gonna act like you ain't got a clue, but I'm coming in here knowing who my elder father is. I know who my elder brother is. I know who my daddy is. I know who brought me out. I know who's bringing me in. I know who's taking care of me. So excuse me while I strut a little bit, because I ain't here on your dime. I'm here under an assignment of the king. You're not in that workplace to make a dime. You're there to manifest the purpose. You're not working for the dime. You're not working for that man. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Wherever you go, you ought to bring order. You ought to walk into your crazy family meetings. Bring order. Reason we don't have any order in the earth is because we have allowed our atmosphere to be hijacked by darkness. And our enemy is the master of fear. So that the atmosphere's charged with fear and he's able to manipulate everyone with fear, then the climate is fearful.
Well, I'm worried about the coronavirus. Take authority.
Well, Pastor, I don't want to travel. I got all kinds of travel planned because we're going to go preach the gospel around the world and we're going to go wherever God says go. You say, are you worried about it? No. Why? Because I am the order bearer of kingdom knowledge. And wherever we go, we establish that. Somebody change it by an atmosphere shift. If you don't like your home, yeah, you can buy and sell another house and still have anger in it. You can buy a new bed and still not sleep. Why? Because you're not exercising the authority you should have over it. If your kid is up tormented, you got to walk in that bedroom with the authority of God and declare, this will not happen in my house. See, you don't understand it. If you don't change the atmosphere, your children will bear the marks of the climate. If your kids are depressed or suicidal, it's because you as a parent haven't taken authority over the atmosphere and set things in order.
Well, your kids ain't never been a problem. I'm not telling you. There was a time where he wanted to die.
Come on, let's talk. Well, my pastor's kid never had no problem. You remember that time you came in there and you had that knife? You remember that, mama? Came in there and said, I want to die. I can't handle the pressure. I can't fit in. It's too much. I want to die. Ain't happening here. Huh? You remember that, son? You want to know why there's some power in your praise? You want to know why there's some prophetic utterance in your praise? Because if we never took authority over it, the enemy would have shut it down. You better be an atmosphere shifter. I touch your neighbor and say, you need to be an atmosphere shifter. I watch him walk and work and... Somebody say, well, he came right out of your cloth. He wasn't raised. Neither one of those boys were raised in a weak-kneed jellyback home. They understood their purpose. It wasn't to hit a white ball. Their purpose was greater than what was pleasing to culture. Their purpose was to raise a standard in the kingdom of God, punch holes in the atmosphere. And every time that boy wars on those drums, hell says, I can't stand it. You've got to be an atmosphere shifter, and you better raise your kids up with a little bit of Holy Ghost swagger where they march into their school saying, I'm here. Ah! I scream because I can't do nothing else. Feel like I'm about to explode in front of you, and that'd be ugly. Where's the order? Who's going to set things in order? Can I tell you what's in my spirit? I'm a hostage negotiator. Here's my negotiation tactics. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out! You want to set order. You want to put things right. You want to fix things in your home. You want to fix your marriage or your kids in the name that is greater than any other name. It's amazing to me how people go, Pastor, can you come pray over my house? You're the one living there unless you planned on deeding it to me. You deed it to me, I'll clean it. But you're my pastor, you're my apostle, you're my leader, you're my daddy, you're whatever. Yeah, that's why I'm teaching you. So I don't have to show up at 3 o'clock in the morning because you can't get the night terrors off your kid. I'm teaching you how to get order because I'm going to teach you how to take authority over an atmosphere. So the climate of your house, you ought to be able to lay down and sleep at night. You ought to have an alarm wake you up in the morning. You ought to love your wife unconditionally. You ought to be so madly in love with your kids. You ought not resent the fact that you got pregnant. Your kids are not a mistake. They're a masterpiece of a sovereign God that put them under your care. You better teach them order. You better punch holes through the atmosphere so their climate is right. Because they're deadly. The Bible said they're arrows in the hands of the Lord. Somebody shout so I can. Aren't you glad I stayed all day Saturday on the... Man, the other word wasn't bad. I give you... How many did I tell you I was going to give you? I didn't? I can't do nothing but pray in the Holy Ghost. Whew. Order, order, order. Man, can I tell you what I see in the Spirit? I wasn't ever a big Judge Judy fan. Order! See, every time that little woman would tell everybody in the courtroom to hush, that's Jada. Oh, wait a minute. I ain't got all that. Sometimes you'll never get order in your climate until you tell your atmosphere. So when you tell the atmosphere, you're talking to principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Shutty. You can't talk to me like that. You don't know who my daddy is. You don't know who plucked me out of the ash heap of hell. You don't know who gave me a new life. You don't understand who I am. Let me inform you. I know who I am, and I know who you are, and I know no weapon formed against me prospers, and every tongue that rises against me, I condemn it. I know my place. I'll call order. Some of you need to get you a backbone and stop putting up with what you put up with and say, I call this court to order. I have diplomatic immunity and you will not charge me for my past crimes. I call order to the court of accusation.
Well, you know, I get more attention because I'm pitiful.
Yeah, you're just proving you immature. Was that hateful? Listen, if you keep telling the same story after year and week after week and month after month, you are immature and you deserve what you get.
But Pastor, things ain't changed. Exactly, because you are confirming the atmosphere and you are allowing it to have dominion over your life and you are getting the climate that you have allowed in the atmosphere. Where am I at?
I'm done. I'll do it next week. 3 things I taught you today. My heavens. Why do I fight? I could have surely found a better profession than this. Surely something far more lucrative for my skill sets.
So, well, you don't act like you've got much decorum. Exactly. I have been wrecked by the Holy Ghost. And when you're wrecked by the Holy Ghost, you're not really concerned about somebody else's opinion of your decorum. Because I could care less whether you think I preach well or not. I want to know, are they getting saved? Are they being delivered? And are they being set free? Are they being healed? Because to me, enticing words is what we have in the church, and we have allowed the climate to be saturated with the eloquence of men, absent of the positive power of God. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost wreck this day, wreck this place, and it be one of those moments than you to think I'm eloquent in any form or fashion. I'm desperate. And I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. The Holy Ghost kept telling me, you got to be on a journey to be a movement. A movement in the earth. I need you to move in the earth. I can't move in the earth until I take authority over atmospheres. And I have been granted, and so have you been granted, authority over atmospheres. Whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You want to mess your enemy up? Tie him up. You want to mess with your enemy? Handcuff him. Throw the key away. If he wrestles loose and shows back up on your doorstep, evict him. I understand he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I get that, but that doesn't mean he has to devour me. Just because he's seeking to devour doesn't mean he puts his teeth in me. Are you kidding me? Well, he's a roaring lion. He's on my porch. Shoot him. He's a violator. Don't you trespass. I'm going to put me a sign up somewhere in this auditorium. Trespassers will be shot. Cancer, we shoot you. Depression, suicide, anxiety, fear, you're a trespasser. Pastor, you can't do that. Stand. Y'all got this today? Huh? How many got a word right there?
Thank you for listening to this message from Five Stones Church. For more information, current events, and the latest news, connect with us online at fivestonesga.com or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at fivestonesga. We would love for you to be a part of a service here live. Join us every Sunday at 11 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here at 1358 Sixes Road in Canton, Georgia. Thank you again for partnering with us as we empower people and invade the culture.